Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
Hallelujah. We are still in the series, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. This, after your salvation experience, must be a topic that is of utmost importance to you. To every believer, make sure you're listening and you're not distracted by your phone in this service. We need to be in tune with heaven. We need to be in tune with heaven. We need, at such a time as this, more than ever in the history of mankind, when the church comes under serious attack externally and internally, we need to know what the headquarters is saying. We need to be in tune with heaven. We cannot afford to make decisions based on our emotions. We cannot afford to make decisions, life-altering decisions, based on what is going on around us. Of course, what is going on around us will be speaking to us. People will speak to us. Our circumstances and situations will speak to us. Satan will speak to us. But we must be in tune with heaven to know what God is saying. Go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 10. There are... It may be so many kinds of voices in the world. So many kinds. You can't afford to be led by so many kinds. Everyone has a voice. So many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without a significance. That's signification right there. That is, each of them is making sense. But you don't go after the one that is making sense, you go after the one that makes faith. Amen. There is God's voice in your situation. Whether you want to make a choice of career, choice of a life partner, choice of where to settle down, choice of whether to do this business or that business, whatever decision you're making, like we make decisions every day, there are, as it were, as it may be, so many kinds of voices, especially with the advent of the social media. There are all kinds of people on social media, all kinds of people operating under the influence of all kinds of spirits. Everybody has been influenced by some kind of spirit, whether the Holy Spirit or the spirit of the devil. Nobody's neutral in this world. There are, as it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. In the world. And we are in the world. We are not of the world, but we are in the world. So where we are right now, there are many kinds of voices. If you follow every voice, you'll be confused. I gave an example years ago. It just came to my mind now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are new in Ibadan, and you want to look for a place to settle. And someone tells you, oh, you are a student of the University of Ibadan. You just gained admission. The best place for you to live will be Songo, because your church is here in Mokola. So you're living between school and church, since you commute between the two places every week. Oh, you say, thank you very much. And then you talk to agents to help you look for an apartment in Songo. And as soon as you are settling down in Songo, somebody comes to whisper to you, what are you doing here? The Polytechnic Ibadan is not far from here, and quite a number of cultists are in that school. Now, I'm not saying this is for real. I'm telling you what people can come up with. So it's a hypothetical situation. Now, from time to time, they clash. And when they clash, they release gunshots. Your life is not very safe here. And off they go. You say, wow. I didn't know anything, but I don't want to risk my life. Then you go ask for advice. Please, where can I move to? Someone says, why don't you move to Agbowo? Agbowo is right opposite the university. If you can't get accommodation on campus, Agbowo is your best bet. As a matter of fact, you won't have to be spending transport fare when you are going to school. It's only when you're coming to church you need to spend some money, especially midweek service. Sunday, the bus will come and pick you up. That sounds more logical. You call your agent, they find you an apartment in Agbowo, and as soon as you're settling down, another fellow comes who has a superior idea, and they tell you Agbowo is actually the hotbed and the home of cultists. You run from cultists that you never met in Songo. Now, you are in the hands of cultists here. And because you don't want to lose your life, okay, so what do I do now? I've just made payment. What am I going to do? Well, I will advise, move a little further down to Orogun. Orogun is better. It's calmer than Agbowo. And then, you move. And as soon as you're settling down in Orogun, someone else comes up with another idea and says, the problem of this place is flooding. Gunshots, Songo, gunshots, Agbowo, but here, flooding. And the flood can damage everything, can even sweep you away. It has swept many people away. Oh my God, I don't want to die of flooding. Where do I go now? Well, you have an option. Move to Ojo. Ojo is on the upper part of town. It's like when you're coming from Ojo, you're coming to a valley. When you're going to Ojo, you're going to the mountaintop from UI. So Ojo makes a lot of sense. And you say, okay, thank you very much. And then don't forget, you keep spending money every time you're changing address. And then you find an apartment in Ojo. And as soon as you're settling, someone comes with an idea. Ojo, it is trailer that kills people here. Trailers actually move into people's homes and kill them while they're sleeping. Now, who wants to die in their sleep? You don't want to. Oh, my God, what do I do now? Someone says, well, you have to travel as far as money to have peace. Because that place is on the outskirts. You have calmness, peace of mind, and serenity. Glory be to God. And then as soon as you're selling the money, someone tells you, well, in this place, your old boys are all over the place because it's far from town. Men, they may just use it for rituals. Where on God's green earth am I going to stay? As a matter of fact, you know, there is no neighborhood that doesn't have its own resident hazards. But there must be some place for me to live. I've heard all kinds of voices according to 1 Corinthians 14:10. And listen, none of them is without a significance. Each of them had a point. But there must be some place God wants me to stay. And if God wants me to be in a particular place, it doesn't matter the number of cultists, it doesn't matter the hazards that happen around me. If God planted me there, I'm there as an agent of light. And I've never seen light run away from darkness. Can I have an amen to that? I'm not saying you are walking into temptation and saying, Lord, lead us not into temptation. But I'm saying, look, I've got no choice. God led me here, and I'm going to live here. There must be some place for me. After all, people live in all of those areas, and nothing has happened to them. That's just a very, very small example. But as small as it is, you know, it could make a difference between life and death. People have died being in the wrong place at the wrong time. They committed no offense, but just been at the wrong place. Be led by the Spirit of God. People have left Nigeria because of safety, for security overseas, all for them to be shot dead in the course of doing business overseas. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, not by the economy, by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. What is making white people come to Nigeria? to do business. We had some during Dunamis from Dr. Awushika. They are there in Abuja with their wives. The wives are in the hotel having breakfast. Some of the most expensive hotels. The men are out there doing business in our land. We are running to their land to go work 9 to 5. That's if you get a 9 to 5 job. They have black jobs. They are coming here to see there are opportunities here. We are literally working on US dollars, but we can't see them. Lord, there has to be something. There has to be a plan for my life. When life becomes unnecessarily hard and difficult, is one of the reasons you should go to God and say, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying? Have I missed it somewhere that I didn't realize? If yes, then Lord, can you help realign me so I can come into alignment with your original plan for my life? Because the safest and the best place to be is to be in the center of the will of God. The moment you are outside the will of God, I tell you, a luta continua. Struggle continues. The moment you fall in line with the will and the counsel of God for your life in every area, it is bliss. It's heaven on earth. Even when there are challenges, you sure know that you're going to overcome, and you sure know that the presence of the Lord is guaranteed. Psalm 91, verses 15 and 16. I will be with him in trouble. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. So deliverance is guaranteed. And I will honor him. And then I will satisfy him with long life. Amen. And show him my salvation. I said, and I repeat, we must be in tune with heaven. It is important in every situation, in every challenge, in every circumstance of our lives, we must be in tune with heaven. So how to be in tune with heaven is what we are about. In this whole series, we've had about 9 classes. This is about the 9th of them. And we're still going to take more classes. I'm not going to rush it. I'm going to ensure that I just pray that more and more people will come so that we get these things. They are not for me. They are for you guys. And I can share some experiences because I can look at my life and I know certain areas where I knew, look, I missed God. I missed God right there. And I'm talking to him and I'm saying, Lord, help me. Now, it's not a crime if we make mistakes, because in the course of learning to walk by the Spirit, there is the tendency for us to miss it sometimes. The mercy of God prevails and endures forever. And the moment you acknowledge that you missed it and you get in line with him, is going to ensure that your life is realigned. How he's going to do that, he knows. Can I have an amen to that? So don't ever, at any point in your life, give up, swallow poison, and say, I missed God, so what's left for me? Let me just go and die. No, that's Satan. God will not condemn you. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, not the condemner. Do you remember that? Do you remember that? He will comfort you through the pain and then realign your steps. Now, I've spoken a little bit about the voice of our spirit. I've spoken a little bit about the voice of the soul, which, of course, the voice of the spirit is conscience. 1 Timothy 4:2 says some people speak lies in hypocrisy and they have their conscience seared with a hot iron. The voice of the soul. Oh, sorry. Did I say that again? Let me say that again. Yeah. So the voice of your soul, yeah, that's it. The voice of the spirit, that's correct. The voice of the soul is reason. Reason. A lot of people try to reduce everything to logic. And some of them are your friends in the university. You know some of them who are not born again. But when they engage you in the conversation, you can hardly ever win that argument. They can almost prove to you that the Bible is not true. They can almost prove to you that there is no God. You know some of your professors who don't even believe in God. Say God doesn't exist, and they give you point upon point upon point. But you being a spiritual person will look at them and shake your head and say, well, I wish that this man would really understand what it means to encounter God. Their soul is very active. Everything is reduced to logic. That was what happened to Adam when he fell. When Adam fell, boom, he fell to the realm of reasoning. He was in the first realm before, connecting with the Spirit of God, having communion with God anyhow, enjoying the presence of God. The moment he fell into reasoning. How did I get to know that? He suddenly discovered that they were naked. Who told you you were naked? Then the next thing they went out to do, they went out to cut fig leaves, to sew fig leaves so that they were reasoning that, okay, we needed to cover our nakedness and we can use leaves to make suits. And they made suits and gowns and they wore it. Reasoning. Until today, many people, when they run into trouble, they want to reason it out. I think my head tells me, I think my mind tells me, my mind, I'm just thinking, I can imagine. Thank God for your imagination. Thank God for your mind. If it's the mind of Christ, glory be to God. But how many people have the mind of Christ except those who are born again? And the third aspect of us is our body, and the voice of the body is called feeling or feelings. When we have feelings, I just have the feeling that sometimes you have a very terrible feeling, a feeling that something bad is going to happen. It's called a sense of foreboding. You just wake up in the morning, you are blue, you are moody, you can't even explain it. You just feel nothing is going right with your life. And everything is going wrong. And if care is not taken, Satan will zoom in and initiate thoughts in your heart, in your soul, rather, and will encourage you to commit suicide. And that is not the way to go. We walk by faith, not by what we see. 2 Corinthians 5:7. We walk by faith, not by what we see. Can you put that scripture? Thank you. We walk by faith. By faith. By believing God. Regardless of how we feel. Regardless of the circumstances and situations around us. Regardless of what others are singing. We believe the word of God. We walk by the word. We walk by the word. Even though it looks stupid, we still walk by the word. Can I have an amen to that? Right, so having dealt with that, I'm still coming back to it. Because I'm yet to really deal with the voice of the body, which is our feelings. But tonight, I want to talk a little bit about something I've left out a little bit. I want to get us back in line. And that is the third way that God leads us. You remember there are three ways in the New Testament that the Holy Spirit leads us. Number one is the inward witness. Do you remember that? Likewise, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That is the primary way, listen, that the head of the church, the Lord Jesus, is leading the church today. He said in one of his visitations, I think it was in 1959 to Dad Hagen, he said, this is the primary way I lead the church. He appeared to him and he said to him, I am not going to lead you this way anymore, appearing to you. You are not special, not any more special than other people. God doesn't have favorites, so forget about it. One particular man of God is so special that, you know, he's more special than the rest of us. If you're a child of God, God loves you. In fact, he loves you like he loves Jesus. Can I have an amen? Amen. No, that's too much for somebody. Go to John 17. Let me quickly show you free of charge and then I come back to what I'm saying. John 17, this is the longest prayer. And the Lord Jesus prayed this for the church. And go to verse 23. John 17, verse 23. John 17, verse 23. Can we read that together? 1, 2, let us go. I in them, I can't hear you, let's go together. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. Who are the them? We. And hast loved them. How? As thou hast loved me. Go to the next verse. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. So he was talking to the Father. For thou lovest me when, come on, talk to me, before the foundation of the world. He loved Jesus before the foundation of the world. And Jesus said he loves us like he loves him. So when did he start loving us? Before the foundation of the world. If he loved you before the foundation of the world, what will you do now that will make him unlove you? What can you possibly do now that will make God say, what? The girl God loves? I don't love you anymore. Humans do that because we make a lot of emotional decisions. People will be going to hell and God still loves them. It is their poor choice of going to hell. If they repent on their way to hell, guess what? They make it again. Let this settle in your heart. That no matter what I go through, God loves me. Are you getting what I'm saying? Come on, are you getting what I'm saying now? That God loves me. And he didn't start loving me yesterday. He didn't start loving me because I started speaking in tongues 2 weeks ago. No, I started reading my Bible more. You know, some people have the idea that when you pray more, when you take your spiritual life more seriously, you read the Bible more, then God begins to love you more. You know, I just feel that God really, these days, recently, he's been loving me more. No, that's an error. That's unscriptural. The love is constant. He had loved you before the foundation of the world, before your dad and mom came together, before you were formed in your mother's womb. He had seen you right there in the realm of the spirit. He had loved you and is still loving you. Now, what changes is our response to his love. Are you getting what I'm saying? While some of us take that love and run with it, some people choose to just not grow. They just choose to not respond to the love of God. Hey, you don't have to go to hell. Nobody has a business going to hell. God didn't make hell for man. That hell is for Satan and all his fallen angels. So people who go to hell will go there as uninvited guests. Because they like Owambe here. They love gate crashing. Come on now. His love endures forever. Can I have an amen to that? So, what led me to telling you that God loves you? I was making a point, and I said I was coming back to my point. Glory be to God. Amen. Don't worry. I'll connect the dots. Now, we must be in touch with heaven, and I was going to show you a scripture. Thank you, Lord. I was talking about the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's the third way that God leads us. So, I was still talking about the inward witness. You know, I have the mind of Christ, so I can't forget what I'm saying. Praise God. Amen. Now, the Lord Jesus appeared to Dad Hagin. That was where I left off. And he said to him, you are not any special than other people. Amen. So he loves Dad Hagin like he loves us. In fact, if he could love Jesus like he loves us, so who is Dad Hagin? Glory be to God. Thank God for Dad Hagin. Amen. Thank God for all our pastors. Thank God for PFE. But hey, God doesn't love PFE more than he loves you. He loves us. He loves us, period. Are you getting what I'm saying? And he said to Dad Hagin in that encounter, I am not going to appear this way again. I'm going to lead you like I'm leading the rest of the world, the rest of the body of Christ. And that is by the inward witness. That's the primary way. I want to beg you, church, work on that. Work on that. Practice the presence of God. Practice being led by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I'm going to that boutique and I'm going to pick clothes. Lead me. Let him influence your choices and decisions. I'm going to school today. I don't know what to meet, but Holy Spirit, which way would you like me to go? Would you like me to talk to anybody for you? Is there anyone you want to talk to and you want to send me to them? Is there anyone you would like me to preach to? I can assure you 24/7. So God wants to save somebody somewhere. Lord, what would you have for me to do today? If God is not using you, Satan will be using you. There is no vacuum in the realm of the spirit. Watch your life. Watch your life, especially when you are alone. Watch your thoughts. If God is not giving you thought, if God is not talking to you, someone else will be talking to you. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Are you getting what I'm saying? King David in the Old Covenant was supposed to be at the war front. At the time when kings went to war, he didn't go. And because he was idle, that was when he saw a woman having her bath. She was having a bath she, and then the king bathed on her. And it was a mess. I mean, don't think that was easy. Yeah, he ended up marrying the woman, but it was a mess. And it came with consequences much later because he killed that guy, the husband, through the sword of the enemy. And God said, the sword will not depart from your household. Absalom came a couple of years down the line, chasing his father with the sword. Let's be careful. What are you doing per time? Make sure, I said it on Sunday, some of you probably were laughing. Don't be available. Don't be vacant. Fill your life with the word of God. Don't be vacant. Have a scripture per day. Something you are meditating on. You see, when you are meditating on the word of God will be filling your spirit. It will be cascading from your spirit to your soul. You are thinking it. You are singing it. It will be tough to say something crazy, something nasty. It will be tough to tell a lie because the word of God is dominating your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? Job, in Job 22 and verse 21. Can you put that up quick for me? That's not where I'm going. I'm still going somewhere tonight. It says, acquaint now yourself with him, glory to God, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. Now, verse 22. It said, receive, I pray thee, the law from his mouth. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, every rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Sometimes you get your rhema when you are meditating on the Logos. The Holy Spirit speaks to you from the word, and then your rhema comes. And here he said, receive the law from his mouth, and do something with it. Lay them up. Lay up his words in your heart. Store his words in your heart. Store God's words, his thoughts. Store them up in your heart so that there is no room for thoughts from Satan. Everything we do in life begins with a thought. It begins with a thought. Jesus said, you guys live out the inner part of the plate, the cup, and you're washing the outside. He said, don't you know that murders, envy, adulteries, lies, they all come from the heart. Fornications, murders, they come from the heart. If your heart were filled with the word of God, the thoughts of God, those things will not have room to stay. Not that they will not come. They will come, but something in you will repel them. Because you carry so much light that there can be no hiding place for darkness in your life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? And Job said that these things, when you do it, there are benefits to it. The challenge with some of us Christians is that we don't like delayed gratification. Whatever we are doing that is right, we want instant result. You want to sow your seed now and reap your harvest now. It doesn't come like that many, many times. Some of you here tonight are going to be used mightily of God in nations of the world, far away, places that even I have not been to myself. But you are not there yet. So this is your room for preparation. But someone else says, no, I want to sow now and reap now. I want to be a mega preacher now. No. David, 1 Samuel 17 said to Saul, there was a day I was keeping my father's sheep, a bear came. There was a bear experience. There was a lion experience that followed before the Goliath experience. That's the way God works. There will have to be seasons of being proven. Whatever you think you know in the scriptures will be proven. Your faith will be tested. Your faith will be tried. And God is processing you until he brings you to the place of final fulfillment of his calling upon your life. And let me tell you something. When the stage is ready, God will bring you up. Can I have an amen? That's the way it is. This day when I read my Bible, I read on a different level. I'm watching for patterns. Because if I can follow biblical patterns, I can already tell you where I'm going. Amen? Every child of God should know. God said in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts I have for you, they are thoughts of good and not of evil, to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you what? A future and hope. So I have a future. All I need to do is to follow the word, follow the dictates of the word, follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and then I will get to that. It's a predictable end. Are you getting what I'm saying? the law, even the law, the canal law that Ewa is reading in UI, is predictable. The law is, they say, is a principle that has predictable consequences for an action. In other words, the law says, if you steal money, you're going to wind up in jail. It's predictable. There is something in law called obtaining by false pretense. In Nigeria today, in the Oyo State law, I think it's CAPS 2000, something. I don't know where it is in the constitution of Oyo State. And also in the Nigerian constitution, and I think it's section 419. That's where they got 419 from. They say somebody is a 419. Now, it's because in the section of the Nigerian constitution, 419, right? If you collect money for a purpose that it is not intended for, you swindle people of their hard-earned funds, and you are arrested, you'll be prosecuted. Because it's a criminal offense, you'll wind up in jail. No matter the mountain top you go to, and you hire commercial prophets, you will end up in jail. It has a predictable consequence. The law says, if you kill somebody, you say, well, I didn't know. There is something in law. They say ignorance of the law is no excuse. There is no, I didn't know. I killed him by mistake. Well, if you have a good lawyer, you might have some penalty that might not result in death. But if your lawyer is not able to prove that it was not an intentional killing, because they have laws for all of these things. Whether you are trying to protect yourself, or you were provoked, or you were, this person actually wanted to kill you and you had to defend yourself, maybe it was in self-defense and things like that. They have the law for it. And everything is predictable. If you do this, this is going to happen. I mean, if human beings can think that up, how about God? And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he may not bless you. Oh no, I won't follow that kind of God. I'm not following him because of the blessing, but I want to be sure of where I'm going. I want to be sure I'm going to make heaven. Amen? Are you getting what I'm saying? Job said these things are predictable. Can you go up quickly? Job 22, we're still there. Go to verse 23. Quick, real quick. I'm going to be real quick because I'm still going somewhere. I'm not there yet. I'm still building the momentum. If thou return to the Almighty, if you return, thou shalt be built up. What if you don't return? You're not going to be built. Thou shalt put away iniquity from your tabernacle. Put it away from your tabernacles. God is not going to do that for you. You're going to have to do that yourself. When you are being led by the Holy Spirit, one of the things that will happen is that your conscience will come alive. Your conscience is the still small voice of your spirit. It will be checking you. That thing you want to do is not good. That thing is not good. So you will then respond by putting away iniquity far from your tabernacles. Because the curse of the Lord is in the house of the thief. I don't want the curse of the law in my house, the curse of the Lord in my house. That's in Zechariah 5. If you return to the Almighty, you'll be built up. I want to be built up. Next verse. Quick. Verse 24, please. Then shalt thou lay up consequences. You will lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Prosperity will come. The Lord Jesus, the head of the church, said to Dad Egan, if you follow the inward witness, and I believe he said that to us too, and he's saying it to us. If you follow the inward witness, I will make you rich. He said, I am not against my children being rich. I am against them being covetous. Covetousness is the problem that we have in the church today. Covetousness. People are covetous. People are greedy. I will preach on that soon. Not right now. Let's go on. You lay up gold as dust, and the gold of Ophir as the stones of the brooks. Yay! Now, because of the prosperity, you are going to need defense, security. The Almighty shall be your defense, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Does that sound like prosperity or not? Come on now, talk to me, church. So these things are in the Bible. Prosperity is in the Bible. The challenge we have today is that some greedy men have taken it to the extreme. But ordinarily, God knows that you need money down here. You need substance down here. We are purchasing a system for the media ministry. I tell you, fasting and prayer could not buy that system. When they gave me the bill, initially they said, Emmanuel Ajayi said it was going to cost between 400 to 500K. I said, oh my goodness, Lord, how are you going to help us? And then the young man came back the next day. I almost gave him a slap after prayer. He said, Pastor, the guy actually says it's going to cost 700, between 700 to 800,000. I said, what? I'm still dealing with 400 to 500,000 in my head. Now you are moving it to 700. And then he sent Zacchaeus to me the day after. And Zacchaeus sent me a text. And I said, Mr. Zach, I don't understand what you have sent. He said, actually, sir, what we need, the version we need, will cost between 1.1 million to 1.4 million. They said, that's why we have not been able to stream. In the last 2 weeks now, our streaming has been really bad. 1.1 to 1.4 million. And someone says we don't need prosperity. So we'll go to the guy who is going to build the system and say, Brustahale Shtifrano, Tika, Leto, Nege, Zuza. Build us a system. He will say, Bruskahano Mikitano. Out of my office. Are you getting what I'm saying? Don't let nobody bamboozle you. These things are in the scriptures. Well, to the glory of God, we made a payment of 700,000 already, and we're going to have that system delivered to us, I believe, next week. And then they said we can now begin to upgrade, add accessories until we get to that 1.4 or 1.1 million benchmark. But for now, we have the system, and then our streaming will be better. I said, let that come first. But we needed to have money for that. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you all had cars tonight, it would be very easy for you to bring one or two people to church. I will show you somebody who brought people to church. If you go to 1 Samuel chapter 3, 1 Samuel chapter 3, I'm talking about the voice of the Holy Spirit now. So that scripture goes on and on. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 3, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Next verse. And it came to pass, precious days, expensive or scarce. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. Yeah, move on quick. And here, so that the lamp of God will not go out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, yeah, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I, yeah, and he ran unto Eli. Who called him? Come on now, who called him? The Lord. Who did he run to? Eli. The voice of the Holy Spirit is more authoritative than your own voice. Number one way God leads us, the inward witness. I've spoken about that. Number two, the voice of your spirit, which is your conscience, or which is called the still small voice. Number three, the voice of the Holy Spirit. This one doesn't come every day. But when it comes, it comes. You can't doubt it. It is more authoritative. You see, I'm running. I'm racing against time. And so he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou called me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again, and he went and lay down. Yes. Next verse. And the Lord called yet again. That's the second time. Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I. Sir, yes, sir. For thou did call me. And he answered, I called not, my son. Lie down again. He went down to sleep second time. The third time. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Samuel did not yet know the Lord. We all have that point in our lives when we did not yet know the voice of the Lord. But we need to grow up. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Next verse. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I. Sir, yes, sir. For thou did call me. And Eli perceived. He had some experience. He had worked with God, even though now he was in a backslidden state. But he still got some experience. He perceived that the Lord had called the child. He perceived that the Lord had called the child. So what did he say to him? Therefore, Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be if he call thee, not I, he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Next verse, quick. And the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And then the Lord began to speak to him. Amen. That was an example under the old covenant of the voice of the Spirit of God. Authoritative, loud, clear, so much that you will assume someone actually is calling your name, calling you, talking to you. Sometimes you look back, but you can't find anybody. Let me give you an example in the New Testament, and we stop there. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. I'll paraphrase because of our time. I wanted us to read the whole chapter, but because of time. So, you know, Peter was fasting, and, well, I wouldn't say he was fasting. He went up to pray. 12th hour, at the sixth hour, rather. That's 12 noon. And he was getting ready to eat, maybe to have breakfast, but then it was 12 noon already, and he was very hungry. And while he was waiting for food to be ready, he fell into a trance, and a sheet descended from heaven. Let's see now. Let's read from verse, Acts chapter 10, and I'm going to take it from verse 9. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Sixth hour means 6 hours from 6 a.m. So that takes you to 12 noon. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a sudden vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God hath cleansed, thou call not common. Call not thou common. So this was done 3 times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. They came to a particular address. While Peter thought on the vision, he was still thinking on the vision. Lord, what could this mean? The Bible says the Spirit, capital letter S, the Spirit said unto him, the Holy Spirit does speak. Did you hear what I said? Say it with me. The Holy Spirit does speak. If he spoke to Peter, he can speak to you anytime. Are you with me? Because God is no respecter of persons. He said to Peter, behold, look at this, very authoritative. Behold, no room for argument. Look and consider. 3 men seek thee. Peter was still in the house. The 3 men were at the gate. And he told him, behold, 3 men seek thee. Then he said, arise, therefore. That was an order. Arise, therefore, and get thee down. And go with them, my goodness, doubting nothing. Do you understand? Sir, yes, sir. For I have sent them. Wow. No argument. Unlike the first voice that spoke to him. And he was saying, not so, Lord. I can't eat anything that is common or unclean. This one, express. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feared God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa, 6 of them actually, accompanied him. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. He brought them to church. Cornelius was a good man. He was not born again. But if you read it from verse 1, he was always praying and giving alms to the poor. He feared God. I marveled when I see scriptures like this. He was not born again, but the Bible records that he feared God to the extent God had to send an angel to him and say, hey, your prayers and your alms have come up to God for a memorial. Some unbelievers fear God more than tongue-talking Christians. They will not touch your money when you employ them in business. They will not steal your money. Mba. They will say, it's haram. Meaning, whatever is not given to me, if I take it, is a curse. Like you have Boko Haram. Christians will say it's a blessing from the Lord. They will take their money, take your money, add it together, disappear. There are certain monies you don't touch. An example is God's money, like the offering of the church. In many, many churches, people steal offering. They count the offering, they steal it. I trust the ones that are in charge of our finances here. I trust Folake, I trust the people working with her. I don't have that issue. But certain people, if they touch church money, that money will not be complete. Some offering will be lost in transit. And we've had situations of ushers building three-bedroom flat, six-bedroom flat, from stolen money from church. Churches where people give dollars, $100, and they give like 500 of it, 1,000 of it in an envelope, and the first set of people to count are the ushers, and then they select, they sort. And when they sort, they take out the hard currencies, and they use that money to send their children to school. And they wonder why those children will be stuck in life. You wonder why some buildings collapse. You see, men don't see these things, but God sees them. And because the law is predictable, do you think God is rising up every morning to put the universe in place? Like, hey, sun, shine now. Don't you know it's time to shine? Idiot. Oh yeah, moon, withdraw yourself. No. God has set laws, the governmental laws of God, into motion. Have you ever heard of the law of gravity? When you throw something up, what happens? It comes down. For an airplane to be flown for the first time by the Wright brothers, they had to find other laws to defeat the law of gravity. So it was law against law to be able to achieve that feat. Now you can fly 16 hours to the U.S. from Nigeria and you don't have the fear of dropping. But it took another law. Confession is a law. You have what you say. Ah! If I'm going to have what... Jesus said in Mark 11, 23, if whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have... He didn't say he might or might not have. He shall surely have whatever he says. You say you are unlucky, you're going to wind up unlucky. You say you are blessed, you're going to wind up blessed, regardless of what you go through in the beginning or in the middle. At the end, that word you've spoken is waiting for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Say with me, I am led by the Spirit of God. I am a child of the Most High God, and I am led by the Spirit of God. Do you know that the Holy Ghost gave the address through an angel to Cornelius, the address of Peter? He said, go to Joppa. When you get to Joppa, inquire for the house of one Simon the Tanner. When you get to the house of Simon the Tanner, which is by the seaside, because there might be another Simon who was not the Tanner, Simon the coppersmith. No, go to the house of Simon the Tanner by the seaside, because there might yet be another Simon the Tanner whose house was under the mulberry tree. Who said the one by the seaside? Does God know your address? These addresses were not mapped out. back in the day like we have now. Overseas now you have postcode. If you put the right postcode, your letter will not go to the next flat. If you don't put the right postcode, your letter will be playing on the streets. Even in Nigeria, as things are, we still have organized addresses in certain places. In some new areas, Lembi. Even that still makes some sense. It's some kind of organization. They didn't have that back then, but they didn't miss road. By the seaside, the house of Simon the Tanner. So when you get there, ask of one Simon. Now, that's another Simon. Who was lodging there? That was not his house, but he was lodging there at the time. And the Holy Ghost told Peter, Simon Peter, three men are waiting for you. The Holy Ghost that sent them had given him a confirmation. That's why as a child of God, somebody comes to give you a prophecy, and the Holy Ghost had not told you before, thrash it. Thrash it. Unless you are sure you have not been hearing God for a long time. You are in a backsliding state. Take it. If you trust the source it is coming from. But under normal circumstances, as a child of God, before God will send someone to give you a confirmation, he has given you the word in your heart. Are you getting what I'm saying? Oh, Lord, have mercy. What time is it? Okay, good. I still have a few minutes. Let me wrap it up now. Still Acts chapter 10. Now, so Peter was in the house of Cornelius. So they were on the way now. Lord, have mercy. Where did I stop? Okay, good. And on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, this is where I stopped, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. I went back to what the angel said to Cornelius. He didn't ask him to bring his kinsmen and near friends. He said to him, send for Peter. When he comes, he will tell you what you ought to do. Because God was bringing salvation to him and to his household. But because he was a good man, he didn't want the good news alone. This is how we ought to behave as Christians. He went to call his kinsmen, family members, and near friends. Come and hear the word of God. So when you are coming next Thursday, don't come alone. Find somebody to bring. Say, come and hear the word of God. Amen. And as Peter was coming in, now look at this honor here. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. He had never met Peter. The Holy Ghost sent an angel to tell him to send for Peter. Peter was a ministry gift. And when the ministry gift arrived in his house, he didn't wait for him to come in. He went to meet him. Like we meet our guest minister at the door. Honor. The level of honor you show might determine your level of hearing. It's boldly written there in John 7, John 8. The Jews didn't profit from the teachings of the head of the church, the best teacher, the Lord Jesus, that people could sit under him like this and not benefit. The village people that are worrying them, they are out of this world. They didn't get much from his teaching. You know why? Because they dishonored him. Any vessel, any minister that you dishonor, you can't profit from their teaching. It's gospel truth. The moment you despise a minister, you discredit him, you discredit the message as well. And God may just have a word for you that will transform your life. Oh, I'm older than him. Who is he? She was my junior in secondary school. All of that would not matter. When you see a vessel as God's representative, you see, Cornelius went down. But Peter didn't allow him. He jacked him up. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. So don't worship me. Yes, I understand the honor, but don't take it to the level of worship. That's where you see African pastors, Nigeria and across Africa. They are walking to a building. Everybody's on the floor. Everybody's on their knees. Some of them even ride on people. They step on people. No, that's not the Spirit of God. Never. Jesus didn't do it. The apostles didn't do it. Where did you get yours from? The whole church kneeling down. For what? The Father in the Lord of my Father in the Lord. That sounds like my grandpa in the Lord. When he's coming on stage to minister and people are clapping, they won't get up. Say, don't clap. Don't clap. If you want to clap, reserve that for Jesus. Let me just go up and do my work. It was my Father in the Lord that started in this church after many, many years that when any minister is going upstage, we should stand up to honor them, which is scriptural anyways. To honor them for their work's sake. But there has to be a balance. Don't worship, honor. But again, don't dishonor, because that will block your spiritual ears. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is so profound in this scripture that it appeared to me for many years until the Lord showed me that there was a protocol here that was broken. It was jumped for these people. Until the Lord showed me it was because of the honor. And the process was followed, but it looks as if the protocol was jumped. Now, so, verse 27 now. And as he talked with him, he went in and found, now Peter went in and found many that were come together, which means this happened outside. Cornelius did not wait for him to come inside to meet him as a big man. Cornelius was a big man. He was a centurion. He had at least 100 soldiers under him. He went to meet Peter outside. So as they came in, Peter was surprised. He saw many people in the house. What? This is the full church? That house fellowship was bigger than some churches. Man. What a word. And found many that were come together. He didn't find a few. He found many. Come on now. Don't be in a hurry to read your Bible. He found many that were come together. So we should be many in the church. Can I have an amen? And he said unto them, ye know how that it is now. Peter was addressing them. How that it is unlawful. It's an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew like me to keep company or to come unto one of another nation. But God had showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That was the interpretation of the vision. When he saw the sheets come down and he saw creeping things, animals, four-footed beasts, the Jews don't eat some of those things, especially creeping animals. They don't eat them. They say unclean. They don't eat fish that doesn't have scales, like your catfish. The Jews don't eat it. Their fish must have scales. They don't eat rabbits. Anything that they deem unclean, no. And God showed him in a vision. God said, rise, kill and eat it. He said, no. Am I going to eat something unclean? No, I've never tasted anything unclean in my life. God says, don't call unclean what God has sanctified. In other words, I'm sending you to the Gentiles, the unclean people, but don't call them unclean because I've sanctified them. Are you getting me tonight? This was now the interpretation of the vision. So Peter had to tell them, what? Normally, a Jew will not enter your house if you are not a Jew. When they even want to enter the house of another Jew, is with their greeting, shalom. Shalom, and the owner of the house says, shalom. That means there is peace. Then I can come in, shalom. The Islamic people, who were the closest brothers of the Jews on the other side, you know, the Jews from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, because Jacob became Israel. Now you have Ishmael on the other side, who is the father of the 12 princes of the Middle East. They say, ashalam alaikum. As-salam is a form of saying shalom. That's why when they want to come to your house, salam alaikum, they are greeting you, they are saying blessings to you, prosperity to you, peace to you. Shalom, salam. Many of those words are similar. Even baraka, which is blessing, baraka or beraka, barakat in Islam. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's unlawful for a Jewish man to come to your house. But God said, go. That's a breaking of protocol, first of all. My goodness. When God is getting ready to save a household, He will move heaven and earth to rescue that household. When God is getting ready to get you out of a troublesome situation, He will move heaven and earth to get you out. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me finish this and then we close, all right? Don't worry, I won't be long. Therefore came I, so Peter was telling them, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. As therefore, now he was asking them, for what intent ye have sent for me? He's now asking. He even risked his life. He risked his life. What if they wanted to assassinate him? He didn't know why they sent for him. So he got there now and said, because when he asked the guys that came, they said, an angel appeared to our master, Cornelius. They said, we should bring you. So he got to the house now. Okay, so why did you send for me? Now, look at this. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, four days ago, as I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, a man that was not born again was fasting. Born again Christians cannot fast. 1 day in the week. Stone Church, we fast every Wednesday. Not many people fast. Every Wednesday. Every Wednesday. You didn't know before, now you know. Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour means 9 hours from 6 a.m., that sounds like 3 p.m. Are you with me, church? Hours of prayer. At the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are heard in remembrance in the sight of God. I was surprised. I added that myself. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. Does the Holy Ghost know your surname? Send for Fred, whose surname is Elebe. Because there might be Fred at Janakudia. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee. Immediately. He didn't wait. I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, we all here. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God? He was even conscious of the presence of God. To hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Wow! Peter opened his mouth and said, wow! It's not written in the Bible, but that's what he said. Wow! Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. If a 12-year-old will obey God, God will honor that child. Let a 49-year-old be misbehaving all over the place like a hooligan. Your result is waiting for you. God is no respecter of persons. Somebody got born again yesterday and is honoring God today. God will go in that direction. He will leave a backslidden preacher. God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. In every nation. Let me finish this. The word which God sent, now he began to preach. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Now he began to introduce Jesus to them. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. I believe at that point they were saying, oh Jesus, I want you. I want that Jesus. I want in their hearts. I believe they were receiving that Jesus. I want him. Ah, this Jesus, that's what I want. Yes, yes, come on, go on. Now, and we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, chosen before the foundation of the world of God, or even to us who did eat and drink with him. After he rose from the dead, we still ate together. They had never heard that before. A man died, rose again, and you ate. Their hearts were opened. Honor opened their spiritual ears. They were hungry for the word. Kai. And when God sees hunger, he sends the meal. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. That is those who are alive and dead. To him give all the prophets witness. This is what the Yorubas call Eri Awon Woli. Eri did not come to Bible study tonight. Tell him. His name is in the Bible. He should have been here. To him give all the prophets witness. All the prophets of old. In the old covenant, they were all witnessing about Jesus. They might not know, but they were witnessing Jesus. We don't have time to go over that tonight. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, the name Jesus, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Kai! They believed in that name immediately. They believed immediately, I believe. I believe they believed immediately. Because something happened. Next verse. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them. Not all them that were in the house, but all them that heard the word. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. They heard the word that in the name of Jesus, through that name, they would receive remission of sins. And I believe in their heart, they said, Jesus, I receive you now. I receive you for the remission of my sins now. Jesus, Yesu, I receive you now. And guess what? There was no time to say the sinner's prayer. Because that's the protocol. God doesn't contradict his word. Romans 10:10. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We do that here before we minister Holy Ghost baptism. Am I right about that? In this place, the Holy Ghost has gone ahead of them. They had believed. They had received him. Jesus, I believe you with my heart. I receive you. Come in now. Peter was still preaching. He just began to hear. The service became chaotic. Not only was Peter dazed, the six men that went with him were dazed. Because on the Gentiles had also fallen the Holy Ghost. What a word. And they of the circumcision, we believed, were astonished. Six of them went with Peter. You'll find the number in the next chapter, but we're not reading that tonight. They were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out, not in a small measure. It was a pouring. There was an outpouring of the gifts of the Holy Ghost. So it was plenteous. Not trickles. This is not mercy fall. Mercy drops. Round us are falling. This is showers. Showers of blessing. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as we all, as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. You don't let such a man go immediately. And they tarried. Men, they ministered to him. They fed them fat. They gave them gifts. They had more opportunity to hear more about Jesus. Stand on your feet, everybody. Were you blessed tonight? Let's be led by the Spirit of God. Let's be led by the Spirit of God. Let's be led. 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 Let us be led by the Spirit of God.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible. so that you can know Him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in Him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG, or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.